Hi there.
Hi.
So welcome everyone. We're recording now, and I welcome you to the Climate Literacy Network call for April. And I guess there's just a few of us here, so it might be worthwhile just going around and just introducing and say who's here. And I know Laura has a announcement she wants to make, and I know she has to leave soon, too. So this is Scott Carley from the College of Exploration here in Seattle, and I'm going to try to facilitate this, okay? And I know Jay is here.
Yep, Jay Moynihan, University of Wisconsin Extension. Hi.
Hi, Jay.
This is Joe Witte, and we're having a Seattle-like day here in Washington, D.C.
And what does that mean to you? It's
having
been frozen wet here.
Having grown up in Olympia, it's overcast and gray.
Yes, that's pretty much what we have. A little bit of blue. It's been unseasonably cool here, though. We haven't got over... Have we gone over... We haven't gone over 60, which we usually do by this time of year. We have not been in the 60s yet.
Then I hope you won't be jealous of Doug Cohen's sunshine
Doug,
in New Mexico.
Probably in New Mexico, is he?
That's it.
Is that where you are?
Today I am.
Yes. Very good.
Okay, Doug, so I'm jealous. This is Jane Heinz-Fry. I'm in Massachusetts under rain.
We're giving the countrywide weather report here.
Exactly.
So, Laura, how is it in California?
California, I can give you the exact temperature if you want it. It is in Burbank at 10:05. It is exactly, 60. But it's still early.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
A little warm up.
Yeah, yesterday it got into the 80s.
Oh, goodness. Lovely.
It's Southern California. What do you expect?
No. Hey, I was in Arizona last week, and it was in the 80s, too. It was lovely.
Nice. Yeah.
This is Carol Landis. I'm in Johnson City, Tennessee, and it's 79 degrees here with partial.
Lovely. So, anyone else? Okay, hearing none. Laura, you're first up in terms of announcements.
Okay, so I have some news. As many of you guys know me, I work at Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and I work on their website called NASA's Global Climate Change, climate.nasa.gov. And we were nominated for a Webby Award. We just found out. And we're nominated for the best science site up against, you know, there are five sites that were nominated. So the voting is happening now for the People's Voice aspect of the Best Science Webby. And so there's only 2 weeks to vote this time around. So voting closes on the 28th of April. And hopefully by the end of the day today, I'll have sent out an email reminder so that everybody can vote. And we had this discussion with my team yesterday. There's four of us on our team. And, you know, we were talking about how, God, it just feels kind of weird in a way, like arrogant, going, vote for me, vote for me. I mean, it just kind of feels awkward.
Hey.
But then on the other hand, it's not really voting for me. It's voting for, you know, the world to recognize global warming and our site as being recognized as a leader in, you know, education about global warming. So in that vein, don't vote for me, because that just sounds arrogant and weird. Vote for recognition of a website that teaches and educates about global warming, climate change. So that, to me, doesn't feel quite so kind of creepy to ask you to vote for that.
How does that sound? Laura, it's just a great opportunity for us to acknowledge the amazing work you and your team have done. This is great. It's a great site. And the world does need to know.
I mean, the world needs to know how important, you know, the change in climate really is. So if you're interested in, you know, kind of promoting a better understanding of climate change, then please, I'll send out a link. You go to the Webbies. It's kind of complicated to vote. You've got to log on and put in your email address and then get an email and then go back to the site. But, you know, it's worth it because, as I said, it helps us get the word out more, you know, to a broader base, you know, by getting recognition in this way. So,
yes.
So in that sense, I don't mind trying to rustle up some votes.
Well, absolutely, it's good.
And you can vote with every email address you have, and you can tell everybody else, and you can pass the word around also if you're so inclined to do such a thing.
Great.
As the old ad says, we can have two mints in one. We can be happy to vote for global warming education and for you all.
Thank you very much. You've got a great voice. I don't think I know you, but you could be like a radio announcer. Your voice is fantastic.
I've heard that before, and I do radio.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, now we know why. You've got a great voice. So I actually have to rush because I'm teaching a class in just a few minutes. But nice to talk to you guys. I'll be on this call much more often after the end of the semester.
Oh, that's great, Laura.
Well, expect an email from me.
Pop in for a few moments at least.
Yeah. Have a great rest of the call, and I'm sure I'll talk to you guys eventually soon.
That's great.
Thanks
for
voting. Okay, cool. Bye.
Great. Well, that's great news to hear about the website getting acknowledged as as at least a nominee.
Right.
Very good. So are there any other announcements from folks?
This is Carol.
Yeah.
Bird Polar, we have been working on the model simulation that I demonstrated about a month and a half ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And we've presented three different data sets for the model to run, and apparently there's a little glitch in the formatting somehow. So all the rest of the changes have been made, so if you want to go back to the website just for the tutorial part of it, I've corrected the things that are, you know, that were like suggestions made by the group. But the model, we will have three new scenarios to run in the model section darn soon. I just don't know. But having a problem with the formatting. I hope that they get it figured out soon.
Oh, it's always, these details are very vexing.
And likewise, the DVD, the climate change DVD that I presented is also completely fixed, and the download information, they created an ISO and all that, so Nate is sending me that later today, and I'll post the new, improved, absolute latest, state-of-the-art, final DVD later today.
Oh, that's good. I know I've had some problems downloading it myself, so that would be great.
Okay, cool.
No version.
That's
excellent.
Great. And Carol, this is Jane Hines-Frey. I had a question for you. We're likely to have over 100 teachers in our professional development institutes this summer. Is that an over-the-top number of CDs that I could, or I'm sorry, of DVDs that I could request from you?
Well, what we've been doing is having you, you need to pay the postage. The purchase of the DVDs, we'll duplicate them, and so you'd need to pay for the, it's like $23 for 100 DVDs, plus postage is about $15. I believe it costs someone $34.95 to get 100 sent to them. So we just ask to be reimbursed for the cost of the DVDs themselves.
Excellent.
And the postage.
That's great. Okay, thank you very much. That's exactly what I needed to know.
Yeah, just send me the information and I'll communicate.
Thank you, Carol.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Oh, Scott?
Yes.
Just clarify, this is Doug Cohen, New Mexico and U.S. Partnership Education for Sustainable Development. Who was Laura in the Burbank person who left already?
Yes.
Okay.
She's actually not been on the call for many months, actually, because her class is, I think, starts at 10:30 or something like that.
Well, I'll give one announcement, but it also relates to her geography for a going forward opportunity for the group. I was in LA over the weekend at a Go Green Expo where we did the education panel. We're very happy to be in partnership there with the Los Angeles Community College District that has a sustainability institute. And I was representing a donation. There's a book called The Sustainable World Sourcebook, adults who are aware of climate issues and other related matters in schools, both high school and middle schools. We're going to create intergenerational pairs of an adult and a student who will convene study circles, not simply for discussion, but to create service learning action projects in their communities and regions. So this is called the Sustainable World Sourcebook. I'm Doug Cohen, D-A Cohen 77 at gmail.com, and I chair the National Youth Initiatives for the UN's Decade of Education on Sustainable Development in the U.S. So I've been with God for, I know some of these are new voices and some of us know each other a long time, but we've been in this since the forming days, and happy to meet those of you I don't know yet.
So Doug, what you're proposing then is to distribute these books then to folks who are willing to form these sort of cross-generational study circles?
Exactly. The donation will be better than that, but we're really aiming to create hundreds of intergenerational pairs.
Yes.
And that models a core theme of the Decade of Education on Sustainability in the U.S., which is in the Youth Initiatives campaign, we are believing in and modeling intergenerational partnerships.
So, Doug, I'm just curious how you're hoping to reach folks like this.
Oh, well, this is through the, this kind of announcement. I mean, we have a network of 800 colleges and we have science centers, as many of you are aware of. And so a variety of our outreach and network partners are just this announcement of this donation program. And through the network of who knows who and who they know, we're reaching out and asking for people to see if they're interested in this.
And so you will very quickly probably go through the 6,000.
We could do that.
Yeah.
We have many, half a year to do this giveaway program.
That's great. So if there's anyone on the call that's interested in participating in that program or know where, there may be folks who would like to pair up and to study, let Doug know.
Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be great. So any other announcements?
Could I just ask Doug a point of clarification there in case I missed it? Was this targeting, there's a lot of talk of citizen science now. Is this citizen action? Is it citizen science? Is it both?
Absolutely. Citizen engagement, which includes citizen science groups, yes.
Okay. I just happen to know a Harvard lunch group is going to be targeting citizen science this Thursday. So I'll at least email this information to that group.
I can have this announcement of this program, put up on our wiki.
And Doug, feel free to send that out to the listserv, too.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That would be great.
Yeah, and then we can just pass it on to...
You said a Harvard lunch group?
Yes.
Because we started with this with Turk, my involvement with this network. Of course, all of our involvement with the network starts with Turk. But we had the Boston Public TV people in our meetings in Boston, Cambridge, and so we have a lot of good connections in that region.
Right, and for all I know, they're the ones who are going to be running that lunch meeting.
It's a small community.
Well, it's all, actually, it's a fairly large community, and it gets going in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll just want to make sure that this gets crisscrossed through the web.
Yes, exactly. Any other announcements? We don't have a real agenda for today. The things that Tamara suggested is just follow up with some of the proposals that are due. We had NSTA was due on the 15th, if I remember correctly, And there is, let's see, what else is the AGU, which is due on the 20th, which is tomorrow. And I know folks have been talking about that. We've had quite a bit of discussion over the last couple of weeks for proposals for sessions for AGU in the fall in San Francisco, actually fall into December. And the other one is the AAAS symposium proposal that Candace has been talking with us about, actually more than, I think it's now 6 weeks or so. And Candace, unfortunately, can't be on the phone today, so I know I'm going to talk with her tomorrow. And so really, the only thing sort of on our agenda is, if there's any follow-up or any other discussion around all of that stuff, or are we feeling fairly complete about what we've done in kind of getting the message out, because that's really what this is about, is using all the venues we can to talk about climate change education. I didn't mean to kill everything there.
We all just wanted to get updated today, that's all.
Yeah, well, the problem is that I haven't been on the call for the last 2 weeks, so I actually am not too sure about where we are with those things, only that those things were discussed in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I missed them too, so I can't fill in. I've been...
blind leading the blind here, yes.
Did you guys get to see the table that Tamara put together?
Yes,
I think that was the main thing that we discussed last week.
My sense is that I certainly haven't seen any more discussion around that on our listserv, and I think that's where we left it. And my understanding from Tamara, that's probably what will go in, is that table. It was, just for folks who are not sure what we're talking about, there was a document, I should pull it up myself, it was a document that was associated with one of the telecons. And let me see which one it was. It was actually last week. And so there was a draft proposal there. And we do have an audio recording of that, or part of that telecon. So the proposals, there's a Word document dated the 12th of April that includes several sessions that we're proposing for American Geophysical Union. And as I said, I know...
This is Joe Whitty. I have a question. How has Candace been doing in talking to Suzuki about the AAAS conference?
I actually don't know. And I will, as I said, I'm going to talk with Candace tomorrow. She's quite busy this morning, and she just sent off a quick email and said, I can't be on the call, but we can talk tomorrow. I'm hoping that we can, I mean, Suzuki could be quite important, just to remind people. The idea was to have, I think, if I remember how it worked, it was a 180-minute session, and David Suzuki, who is a very well-known Canadian scientist and science journalist, we would love to have him be there. He in himself would be quite a draw, but to have him almost play the role of the discussant to sort of bring all the pieces of that session together. And Joe, maybe you have a little bit more information than I do, but certainly the idea was to discuss that with him and see whether he would be willing to do that. He is based.
He was in town for the showing of the movie about him, which is relatively new. This may have been the debut, and it was at the Washington D.C. Environmental Film Festival. And it's a very good film, and worthwhile including in part of the. Vancouver program.
Yes. Well, he's done amazing work. I actually worked somewhat in that department when I was a postdoc at University of British Columbia, but I actually never got to spend much time with him. So I know him mostly through his broadcast work, and that's over 30 years. So,
right.
Yeah. He's very well known in that field, and I mean, very dedicated to issues around global warming and all kinds of other science and society issues. So he would be excellent to do this.
Yes.
So, and I think he's now celebrating his 75th birthday, so he's definitely seasoned, let's put it that way.
Yes, he is. We were going to sing happy birthday to him, but we forgot to do that.
Yeah, it literally was last week, wasn't it? I think I saw something on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation website about that. Anyway, enough about David Suzuki, but we'll that's certainly something that I'm sure Candace would love to have that you know, connection, if that's possible. Because I don't know him personally, I've actually been racking my brains to see who I, you know, think about who I know that could make a nice invitation to him, and I haven't been able to come up with anyone. It's been a few years since I've been at the University of British Columbia.
Right. I happened to buy one of his books afterwards and forewarned him that somebody would be reaching out to him.
Ah! Oh, you've already started it. Excellent. Candace said if she doesn't know that he's already been forewarned. Did he respond positively, or?
He was in the middle of signing books, and so it wasn't really an opportune time to talk, but he said, yes, contact my office.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, we'll just take that at its face value, and I'll pass it on to Candace tomorrow. So is there anything else around this sort of push we have for meetings over the next, now almost a year, I guess, when we think about the AAAA, AAAS meeting, which is in February of next year. Are there any other comments about that? Is there anything else that we can add?
Well, just as Doug, again, the reference before to the teacher workshops overlaps with the ESIP summer meeting in Santa Fe. The ESIP summer meeting will have focus on teachers and teacher workshops. So one of the things I'm talking with them about is a program that came out of a subcommittee of this call, which is media literacy for youth, and having young people who are climate literate use multimedia technology and the training to tell a story about local impacts and engage their constituency. So we're looking at a workshop for teachers in the summer at the ESIP meeting on that. Who was talking about another teacher training with 100 teachers before?
It was Jane, wasn't it? I think it was Jane talking about that.
Is she gone now? Maybe she's gone.
Yeah.
It was nice having her while we had her.
Good, yeah.
Doug, you know, someone who has been doing a little bit of this is Randy Olson, who wrote the book Don't Be Such a Scientist. And maybe an interesting site just to look at in your spare time, as if we had any these days.
And is it Olson with an O, with an E or an O at the end?
I believe it's an O. Randy Olson. He's a former university professor turned filmmaker.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. That's a good reference, yeah. Don't Be Such a Scientist?
Don't Be Such a Scientist.
We talked about that. I think maybe, Joe, you mentioned that book before.
Yeah, it just sort of opens your eyes to how sometimes we talk so much science talk and other folks don't get it.
Yeah.
Randy sort of goes overboard, but still it is worth spending the time glancing at it.
Yeah.
No, that's very helpful.
Well, and it's really what we struggle with, isn't it? Certainly those of us who are trained as scientists to sort of, it's not so much untrained, but it's actually to be open to changing the kind of language you use. You can be clear and still accurate, but you can change your language to a way that's a lot more open.
Yep.
It's interesting, certainly it's become, at least in my mind, quite a theme. I know there was a lot of discussion about scientists and their responsibilities and even sort of the approach to talking about climate change at the last AGU meeting in San Francisco in December. It seems to be sort of a sub theme in scientific meetings now, is recognizing that role. Encouraging. So any other comments? This was kind of our free time to sort of pick up some ends and share a little bit about whatever else is going on for us. If there's anything else?
This is Carol. I missed the last meeting or two, so forgive me if this has already been discussed, but I was curious if there's an update on when the energy literacy stuff is going to be available, or the standard sort of revised standards thing.
This is, I think, Carol, what you're referring to is the work that's coming out of the Department of Energy, Matthew. And Matthew, I've seen a couple things from him. He's been having a series of meetings in a couple of areas in San Francisco, and there's, I think, one in Virginia, if I remember correctly. And so he's been trying to engage the community in developing a series of energy literacy principles. This is my perspective on it, they're a little bit broader than what we have traditionally done in the geoscience literacy framework, like the climate literacy framework, essential principles. They're definitely looking at sort of social dimensions of this in a way that's a bit more than what we've done with the more science-based essential principles. My understanding from Matthew, and this is really the last sort of serious conversation I had with him, was actually in December in the meeting in San Francisco, and it sounded like he was trying to get this moved through until sort of July or sort of summer of this year. So this is a very fast track. In part, it's being driven by his availability as an Einstein Fellow at the Department of Energy. And I know that he and his boss, who was also at that meeting that I was at, were very clear that Secretary Chu was very interested in this, and so there was some sort of encouragement coming from higher up in the Department of Energy. So that's really all I know. I know that there's a wiki, which I must admit I haven't been on for a couple of months, actually, that followed this stuff. So has anyone else got any more recent information about the status of that and the drafts and that? I guess that may be it. Have other people seen that material? If not, I will go back to the most recent email I got from Matthew and try to send things out to the network as a whole, just so at least links people back into where the wiki is, and if they want to start to contribute to that process, then that's the place to do it. Would that help, Carol?
Yeah, I just actually found a website that's www.energyliteracy.com that refers to this process and the categories and stuff. I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to, but the description on the search engine says it's been a while since you've heard anything from us at Energy Literacy. Compare that to the language from the Department of Energy's tips to save, etc. So it might be related, might not.
There's several processes that have been going on, and certainly some old stuff too. I'm not sure if the Energy Literacy Net, whatever they're called, that website, is actually the same thing that that I've been involved in. So it's quite possible that there's sort of some things running in parallel, so we'll have to sort of straighten that out a little bit. My understanding is certainly from Matthew is the intention is to be completely inclusive. There's no sort of proprietary piece here. It's really, to finish this kind of process, it really needs kind of a champion, and as an Einstein Fellow, he was willing to take that on and sort of champion this process. So I'll see if I can kind of figure out what's where and try to put a little bit of an email together and send it out to the network, because it's definitely something that's kind of fallen off our radar, certainly mine. It's hard to get engaged in something that there's not specific time set aside and say, okay, we need a draft or we need review by such a time.
Scott, to clarify, are you still referring to the energy literacy as what's fallen off the radar?
I'm just saying, for myself at least, that it's hard to pay attention to it when it's there's not a specific time associated with it. They're not working on it the third week of April, for example. I know, some of you know, I've been involved in developing a number of the geoscience literacies, and we've always taken the view that you need to sort of give a focused time, and so there's 2 or 3 weeks in which people intensely work on that. If you don't have that focus, people sort of drift in and out, and I don't think you get the same kind of quality of work. So we've always felt that if you're going to use an online process, you really need to make an event of it, essentially. And that's certainly been great in developing the ocean and the climate and the earth science literacy frameworks.
I actually just found another site about the DOE. It's the Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy part of the DOE site, and it mentions Matthew Inman and some and the wiki. So
okay,
I can post that if you'd like.
I think that's the basic portal or contact point is through that wiki. I know that was what he was setting up in December.
Okay.
And I know but about 3 weeks ago I had an email from him just saying, yeah, we've got more material up there. So I'll try to find that and send that out to the listserv.
Okay. Thank you.
That's good. That's good. Thanks for reminding us of that. It's it's really important to track all of these processes going on. They're all very helpful. As some of you know, in one of the projects that came out of the Climate Literacy Network, the CLEAN project, a piece of that, the EA part of CLEAN, is about energy awareness, and we had to put together essentially some energy principles just for our own review processes. It will be very nice to have something that is much more broadly supported by the community. That would be a lot.
Oh, I have a question for everybody. Is the Climate Literacy Network going to be putting together anything for the National Marine Educators Association conference in Boston in the end of June, beginning of July?
We actually haven't talked about that. It's a meeting I've certainly gone to on occasion. That's a good point. I actually don't know whether sessions have been already assigned for that.
I don't know if it's been closed. But I don't know if it's past submission time. It might be.
Yeah, I could well have missed that. I'll check into that because I know many of my colleagues will be going to that, and even if there isn't a room for us to introduce something with our members, there may well be sessions going on, and I can't imagine there wouldn't be.
That we could highlight. Yeah.
Highlight for ourselves. It may also mean that some of us will be even more encouraged to go to that meeting in Boston.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Yeah. That's sort of the other hat I wear, so I sometimes forget about the NMEA when I'm on these calls. So, are there any other comments and things? It's been great just to catch up a little bit. So, hearing none, I think we'll just wrap if that's all right. We have Kristen Poppleton from the Will Steiner Foundation is going to speak with us next week. So that's on tap for next week's call on the 26th.
Great. Thanks, you guys, very much.
Yes, thanks to everyone.
Go team.
Yeah, go team indeed.
Take care, everybody.
Yes, indeed. Thanks again.
Bye.
Keep warm. Or cool.